But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now, a few chapters after this reading in Matthew 28, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, two of the women who were following Jesus from a distance during his trial and his execution, come to the tomb at dawn on the Sabbath after his death. Now, Mark tells us they come to anoint the body for burial, but Matthew says nothing about their motivation. The angel who rolls away the stone from the tomb knows that they have come to look for Jesus, who had announced that he would arise 3 days after. And they've come to watch it happen. They're rewarded with a front row view of the empty tomb, and moments later, a meeting with the risen Lord himself. They put themselves where they can see what God is doing. They're watching, and they're ready. Now, we do not know what day or hour Jesus will come again. Even Jesus doesn't know when it will be. And so, to my thinking, any speculation about it really is just a waste of time, and it borders on idolatry, thinking that we can know the mind of God. It's one of the mysteries that Martin Luther reminds us that we cannot know. What we can do, what we are to do, is keep awake, be vigilant, to watch for the signs of God's presence. And as we're told in the next part of this particular conversation with the disciples, to be about the work that Jesus calls us to. The work summarized in the Great Commission at the end of this gospel: go, baptize, teach, tell everyone. But how do we know what to look for? How do we know what we are called to do? Well, we know this as we know the God who has come to us in Jesus Christ. And the place that we find that is in Scripture, the Bible. This is God's word to us, God's letter, God's email. Sorry, it's a little bit longer than a tweet. God has a lot to say. It's God's way of saying, this is who I am and what I am about and who I have created you to be. Now, we know how to do this, how to discern these things, because how do you know who to pick for your fantasy football league? How do you know that this little thing you see in the background of the Star Wars series Andor, how that fits into the wider lore of Star Wars? Or what this joke or saying refers to? We know these things because we've immersed ourselves in studying it, either intentionally or just because of the way that we live, right? I know the gentleman in my confirmation class can speak in great detail about who you should pick for your fantasy football league and why, because they've immersed themselves in that world. Youth and young adults know the latest slang because that's just part of their subculture. They don't study it. It's just always there around them. They just know it. And we all have the capacity to do this, to become so attuned to this God who has come to us in Jesus that we can begin to see more and more clearly how that God is already active in the world, so that we can, like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, place ourselves in a position to see God at work. And that's why I'm inviting you to join me in reading through the Bible in a year, beginning today. So that regardless of whether we have read this story of God's pursuit of God's people many times or never cracked it at all, we might awaken ourselves to what the Creator of all that exists is like, and how this God works in our world, and what our calling is in relationship to this God, so that we might keep awake, be able to see these things at work. One author wrote that the vocation of modern disciples is still to watch for the signs of God's presence in power. And we remember from last week what power, God's power, looks like, right? It's the power that is revealed at Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection. It's power revealed in healing the sick, standing with the broken and suffering, bringing sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. It's not power, it's power. In the final parable of this sermon, Jesus tells the disciples that the Son of Man, the judge, is present among precisely those who are sick or broken or suffering. This is where we too go to see what God is doing in the world, how God is still transforming the world. And this is also how we meet God, right? Jesus promises to us that when we feed the hungry, when we heal the sick, when we visit those in prison, we do it to him. That the eyes of Jesus are looking back at us from those whose basic needs we have just met. Now, I don't know about you, but I like darkness. I find it comforting. It's like a blanket wrapped around me. Just ask my wife. She'll come in and find me reading. That's the joy of a Nook, right? Or a tablet. You can read in without a light being on around you. It's probably not the best for my eyes. But she'll come, what are you doing in here? I like darkness. But darkness can also be oppressive, isolating, scary. And when we talk about the feeling of darkness within us, it is something that can pull us out of relationship with others, can it? Darkness is the feeling we have when we pay attention and really consider the suffering and death caused by the war in Ukraine, where at least 7,000 civilians have been killed, 10,000 or more wounded. Estimates are that around 100,000 soldiers on each side have been killed or wounded. It is the feeling we have when we pay attention and really consider the mass shootings this past week that killed 5 in Colorado Springs, 6 in Chesapeake, Virginia, and the fact that this year will be the third year in a row where there are 600 or more mass shootings that are defined as an incident where a minimum of 4 victims are either shot, either injured, or killed. That's about 2 a day. It is this darkness of killing one another, of hatred, of anger, of quarreling and jealousy that Paul reminds us that Jesus has come to dispel. Jesus is not only the Son of God, S-O-N, but the Son of God, S-U-N, bringing light and life to all people. And so an image that is often used in scriptures and by Christians throughout the ages is that the coming again of Jesus is like the break of morning after a long night, a moment of hope, of renewal, a deep breath of fresh air. That moment is one that we long for and pray for and hope for. And a word we Lutherans love, and we can experience a foretaste of this moment now. When we come to this table and receive the very body and blood of that Jesus who died so that we might live freed from bondage to all of those things. A bit of bread, a sip of wine that warms our insides with the light of this Christ. We can experience a foretaste of that moment now. When we set aside those things, that personal and societal darkness of hatred and war, murder, hunger, anger, lust, jealousy, addiction, and clothe ourselves again in Jesus Christ. When we dip again into the waters of baptism and wash off the worst of the world. When we plunge into those waters and arise refreshed, made new, clothed again in Jesus Christ, as Paul reminds us in Romans. Now, we who are living in the Northern Hemisphere are living in a time of physical darkness, yeah? Waiting for the return of the light. And we also live in the darkness of the world as it is, waiting for the return of the light of Christ, the dawn of a new day, a new age. And so let us help keep each other awake. Let us help one another look for where the power of Christ is at work in the world. Let us help one another lay aside the works of darkness and live as what we are, what we are claimed to be in those waters of baptism, people of the light. To daily clothe ourselves in Christ and go forth as beacons of his glory shining into the world. So that when he does come again, whenever that day will be, oh my Lord, what a morning, he might find us living as what we are. Disciples of Emmanuel. God with us, Jesus who is the Christ, the Son, and the Son. Thanks be to God.